Amen. So thankful for God's amazing grace. God has been so good. And the truth is, because of God's goodness, it should inspire us to be a servant of His. The motto for the college, Faithfully Baptist Bible College, is training servants for the Master. And there is no greater calling in life, is there, than to be a servant of Christ, to serve our God who has been so good to us. If you haven't got one of our sheets this morning, the usher tried to hand them out as you came in. But if you would like one, this is just a note sheet, and we have lots of pens back there as well. If you'd like one, you raise your hand. I know, anyone need one? We have Ruth here would like one. Anyone else would like a note sheet here for us? As we look at our message, I thought it would be a blessing to us this morning as we consider how God wants to use us. God wants to use our gifts in service to Him. You know, there's some ladies that come every week to the church, and they, you know, these dear ladies, they come and they clean. Isn't that great? There's ladies that will come and clean bathrooms, vacuum, and there's you know, I'm so thankful for, you know, the people that have a servant's heart just to volunteer some time, and no one sees them, no one knows, but they come and clean. I'm thankful for people like that. You know, there's people in the church that will, you know, we have our new bulletin out this morning. God, the young lady, she helps us with the bulletin so that it only takes a couple minutes of time and it's ready to print. I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for those that will go out sewing and help with music. I'm thankful for, think of a lady that has a passion for reaching people with the gospel of Christ. And just so passionate about it all the time, desiring to go and reach people for Christ. And those that are not easy to be reached, or maybe even not being reached because they're out in the country or far. I'm thankful for, you know, aren't you glad for people that have burden for souls? I'm thankful for people like that. Think of a gentleman that's been coming to the church for years, and you all know who it is, and as I say it, but has devoted countless hours to the maintenance of this building. Hours and hours, for years and years and years. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord, amen. For servants. Those that will, and I could go on and list, there's people that send out birthday cards on your birthday. So you get a birthday card from the church. There's someone that that will send out letters if you're a guest here, and welcome you and thank you for coming to the church. There's someone that will that helps pay the bills and works in the finances. There's those that prepare taxes and send out reports and receipts. And you may not know mostly who I'm talking about necessarily, specifically, but what's amazing is that they're willing to be a servant to God, just serving the Lord in the background. Not up here, you know, singing the solo, not up here giving the message, not the one that has to, you know, is teaching the Sunday school lesson, not the one up front, but those in the background, just willing to serve the Lord. I don't need to be noticed. I don't need to be recognized. But they just really understand what ministry is all about and who they're doing it for. They're not doing it for the church. They're not doing it for me. But they're doing it for Jesus Christ and allowing God to use them. Let me ask you this morning, I know we have some guests here and things. You know, who else would say here that they're a minister? I just see, is there any ministers here? Other ministers? You're going to see that throughout this message that we're all to be ministers, aren't we? We're all to be ministers. I did that on purpose, by the way. Ministers. Because my job as the pastor of Four City Baptist Church is to equip you for the work of the ministry. We are all to be studying to show ourselves approved unto God. And it worketh not to be ashamed. Amen. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Our desire should be to be a servant. Ministers of the gospel. Paul said that my job is to equip, to teach, to motivate, to train, to get you into ministry. In fact, one day when I realized that you pay me to get you to work, I thought, wow, I have a good job. That's my job, to get you to serve the Lord. Well, we need to have a servant's heart, don't we? As Christians, that we desire to serve people. We desire to see people saved. Jesus saves. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, this message is primarily for those that are saved that would become a servant of Christ. And maybe you would say, wow, I'm not sure that sounds funny that, you know, to be a servant, no one wants to be a servant. But in God's economy, you have to understand something. We are trying to be pleased of God. We want our lives to please God. Everyone else lives their lives to be pleased of men. And to be pleased of men, you know, it's okay. But the truth is, that person that says, great job, they're going to die. That person that says, great job, you know, your boss, they're going to get demoted. They're going to get fired. And so their favor on you is good for a moment, but God's favor on you is good for all of eternity. And so I desire that to have God's favor on my life. And the Bible says that one way we do this is to be to the least. And in God's economy, when you're the least, he ranks you up here. He says, if you're willing to wash someone's feet, he says, if you do it unto the least of these, if you give just a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, if you'll just do it unto the least of these, he says, it's as if you've done it unto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the God who sits on the throne of heaven. And he says, to me, that is important. And so you see, being a servant for a Christian is such an important thing. Being a servant for all of us is such an important thing. Our founder of this church, Dr. Fred Howard, he wanted people to know about Jesus Christ. He was a real servant of God. He wanted people to know about Jesus. He wants you to know this morning. God wants you to know this morning. And Fred Howard started this church so that in the future, even after his death, that people would still, from Forest City Baptist Church, come and hear that Jesus saves. This morning, do you know that God loves you? That God died for you? That he shed his blood to forgive you of your sins? To give you a home in heaven? God is just crazy about everyone. He's crazy about this world. And so God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. Because the truth is, no one can pay the price of their sin. Everyone is a sinner. Everyone is on their way to pay for the price of their sin, which the Bible says a place called hell. But he says, I don't want you to go there. And so he gave us the gift of God. This gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. If you don't know Christ as your Lord this morning, would you admit that you're a sinner and say, yeah, I've lied. Yeah, I've broken the Ten Commandments. I've broken the golden rule. I've not lived for God as I should. I've not done everything. And I've definitely done things that I shouldn't have done that we see in the Word of God. We're sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you this morning. Would you just admit that you're a sinner? Would you believe on Jesus Christ? Would you believe that he died for your sins? That he came, he sent his son, God sent his son, Jesus, and he lived a perfect life because he was God. And he died on the cross to shed his blood for the remission of your sins, for the forgiveness of your sins. Would you accept and believe on him? And on the third day, the Bible says, after he went into the tomb, he rose from the grave, again proving that he was God and that he can forgive sins. And he forgave your sins in that moment. 2,000 years ago, your sins were forgiven. But now here's the thing. Will you accept his forgiveness? Will you believe on him? And will you accept him as your personal Savior? The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he forgives us. The Bible says, if we will call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. And the moment you get saved, you become a child of God. And as a child of God, it should be our desire to now serve him. As a child of God, it should be our desire to not just continue as we were once when we were lost. But now we have a different goal in life. We have a different goal. And that's to please the one that has done everything for us. We want to bring praise and glory to him. And so today we're looking at being a servant. Being a servant. Servanthood. As I think about a servant, as I think about someone who just worked in the background, I think of one of the disciples. I think of Andrew. Andrew was one that was faithful in the back. As you think of the disciples, and we know that there were 12, we think of, well, John, of course. We think of Peter. And we might go through the list of people. We think of Luke, of course. And we think of these disciples. And, of course, we know Judas, the one that betrayed Christ. But then there's Andrew. Not a whole lot in Scripture is talked about Andrew. But I want us to see some principles this morning as we think about being a servant for Jesus Christ. I think about Andrew, a minister, those that would minister to those that are in need. I want you to take your Bibles, turn to John 1 if you haven't turned there already. John 1, I believe that Andrew is the kind of person that makes a local church great. I mentioned some people, and not by name, on purpose, but I believe that those that will understand what Andrew understood and put it into practice in their life, as Andrew put it into practice in their life, they are those people that make a church great. Because though they're not, I don't care to be known. I don't care that anyone would know what I do. But what I do want is to please God. What I do want is for Jesus to be pleased, to be exalted. The example of Andrew this morning, we can see, first of all, the value of people. You see, Andrew understood the value of people. People are so important. That the value of that individual, he understood that. John chapter 1, we'll see it right here in the text, that he understood the value of one person. John chapter 1, verse 41 and 42. Says, he first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. It's so awesome here. Andrew is all excited here. He says, what did he say? We have found the Messiah, which is to be interpreted. He says, we found Jesus Christ. We found the Christ. We found the Savior. And he is so thrilled and he is so excited that he can't contain himself. And the first person he thinks of is, he says, I got to go tell my brother, Peter. Peter, I got to go tell my brother that we found the Christ. Peter, we found the Messiah. Cephas interpreted Peter. What a beautiful example here of how Andrew, behind the scenes, goes and brings his brother to Jesus. He goes and brings his brother to Jesus. Can I say, is there any greater calling than bringing your brother to Jesus? Could you do anything greater in your life than to go and bring your brother, to bring your sister, to bring your family member to Jesus Christ? And say, I found the Messiah. There's nothing greater. There is no greater purpose in our lives than to go and bring your family member, your brother, your sister, your dad, your mom, your son, your daughter to Jesus Christ. He's so excited. We found the Messiah. You can hear the excitement in his voice. He says, you got to come. And he brings his brother to Jesus Christ. We see how he's pouring out his life for others, then they might see Jesus. Remember the time when the Greeks, they wanted to find Jesus. And so they come to Philip, and they come to Philip and say, where's Jesus? And Philip doesn't go and take him to Jesus. Philip goes and takes him to Andrew, and Andrew brings them to Jesus. You see, it was in Andrew's nature to try to find that person, that individual, to find people and bring them to Jesus. Also, Andrew was the one, by the way, There was a great need on that day. And there was thousands and thousands of people and they were hungry. We know the story. But who is it that one that said, well, what can we do? The disciples are asking. You know, should we try to go? We're not going to have enough money to go find bread and food. But Andrew goes and finds a little boy because he understands the importance of the individual. He understands the importance of bringing someone to Jesus. And he brought that little boy to Jesus, and God worked a great miracle that day and blessed thousands and thousands of people. Why? Because he brought someone to Jesus. Now, I spend hours, literally every week, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I'm just telling you what my week is like often. And the reason that I invest the time into it, I spend a lot of time working on messages. I do. I spend a lot of time trying to do some planning. This week I was doing planning for the property and doing things like that. But spend time doing all kinds of things. But do you know what? I try to make my number one priority, and I think we all need to do this, is trying to spend some time with a person. Go out for coffee with someone. Go out. I know that's, you're going to have to twist your arm a little bit. I'll twist it a little bit. You know, go to Tim Hortons. It's difficult, I know. And invite someone to go with you. It could be your friend. I know, it's rough. But go with your friend to Tim Hortons. And then maybe think of a cousin. And the next week, go with them to Tim Hortons. Just go and spend time with people for one purpose, that you might bring them to Jesus. They might be already a Christian, but they may still need to be pointed further to Jesus. They might need to be a disciple of Jesus. They might need to be discipled. And so you could be that person that would come alongside them and encourage them to go and spend their life pleasing Jesus Christ. Andrew was about trying to bring people to Jesus Christ. That's the greatest thing you could do. Invite someone to your house that you might point them, encourage them towards Jesus Christ, that they might be saved, that they might be encouraged to serve him, that they might, you might get to know them, and maybe they're saved, but maybe their friend isn't saved, and they'd have confidence in you to bring them to you to their friend. Why? So that you might bring their friend to Jesus. You see, it wasn't something that was out in the forefront. It wasn't something that, you know, everyone knows what Andrew does. We almost know very little about Andrew, except for that he is the brother of Peter, and we know tons about Peter because Peter was a great leader. Peter was outspoken, and he often said things he shouldn't have said before he thought. But everyone knows Peter. We know Peter. But Andrew had an important ministry. Andrew understood what it was to be a servant. Andrew understood what a difference it would make if he would just bring someone to Jesus. I've said this a couple times this year. You know, we would do nothing greater this year than just each of us would determine, you know what, this year, if I do nothing else, this place would be on fire if I just brought someone to Jesus. Brought someone to Jesus. My goal is, I haven't found them yet this year, but I'm going to find them, that I might bring someone to Jesus. But you know what that's going to require? Time. Time investing your life. But Andrew was willing. He said, people don't know, it's okay. I don't care. I'm just going to invest my life into people. Why? So I can bring someone to Jesus Christ. There's no greater purpose in life than bringing someone to Jesus. We need to be busy about this. Working. Endeavoring to bring someone to Christ. We're working on our new church directory. This is mine. And you know, if you haven't, there's a one out in the foyer. If you haven't looked and say, oh, yep, everything in my directory is fine, go ahead and do that. You can check mark it. If you change something, you need to. If you're not in it, you'd like to be in it, we'd love to have you in it. And you can just put your name in the back, okay? But do you know what I like about a photo church directory? Is that there's names and there's faces. Amen? I like that. Because I actually struggle with learning people's names. I will know people's names and I'll know their face, but then there'll be a mental block that comes. I've done it before with Christy. Christy did a great job singing for us this morning. And I know it was Christy that was coming to sing, and it wasn't this morning. But another time I said, come on, you know, come sing, you know. I could not think of her name. I don't know why that happens sometimes. But do you know what would help you to learn someone's name? Just go through the directory and look at their faces, see their name. Why don't you pray through it? Why don't you pray through the directory? You don't know everyone's needs. It's a wonderful time with God. You just do it once a week or however often. Just add it to your devotions in some way. That once in a while you just, why? These people are saved. I know they're saved, but they need your prayer. And you need to learn to love them like God loves them. And you need to, and God will place maybe a person on your heart. Maybe he would have you call them. Why? Because he wants you to love them. But he knows what's going on in their life. You don't. Just as you look at their names. And you could bring them before the throne of grace. Bring them to Jesus. You know that God can make a difference with just one person. He really can. God makes an incredible difference with just one. One more person coming to know Jesus Christ. One person praying. One person that you would bring. One person seeking for someone to bring. I want us to give us real quickly 5 principles for individual people helpers. We want to be a people helper. We want to be someone that is trying to help people, whether they're the lost or whether they're the saved. Can I say, first of all, that character is more important than gifts? Character is more important than gifts. We all want gifts. We all want to be, and I think we need to use the gifts that God has given us. But character is so important. What we are and who we are is more important than really what we do. Character is more important. Being godly is more important than being right. We all want to be right. My wife and I think it's a married thing. I don't know. You tell me. But, it's my goal to be right because I'm never right. Right? She's not listening to this, and she probably, I hope. Yeah, she's downstairs. I appreciate my wife. It's her birthday today, by the way. Don't tell her I told you. You can all say happy birthday to her after church. But she's teaching junior church downstairs, and I praise the Lord for it. But, the truth is she's mostly always right. Can any man identify with that? She usually is right. But every once in a while, I'm right. And she admits that I'm right. I'm like, what was that again? Why? We all want to be right. I think it's human nature. We want to be right. I want my rights. I want to be right. But the truth is, being godly is more important than being right. We all have opinions. But I want to be righteous before God. That's more important than being right. You cannot lose. Love is more important than good works, isn't it? Love is more important than good works. Just loving someone. There's people in this room that would love for you to love them. As I go around and doing so much good and so on, just pick someone and love them. The Bible says one way you know that you're one of his disciples is if you have a love for the brethren. Say, I don't know someone here very well. Why don't you just pick them out and you spend some time this month, just pouring out some love on them. It's more important. It's so important than our, quote unquote, good works. You cannot lose by being a learner. You cannot lose by being a learner. There's so much in God's word for us to learn. Just keep learning and learning. And as you know more and more about him, you'll be going to become more and more like him. And there's always room for one more servant. There's always room. I mentioned people that do different things around the church, and I praise the Lord for them. There's always room for someone else to come in and clean the building. There's always room for another nursery worker. There's always room for one more servant. And God, by the way, is calling you. Now, I don't know what he's calling you to do, but he wants you to get busy serving him because he loves you And one way we draw closer to Him is in service to Him. Ministry, ministry. Secondly, this morning, the value of invisible service. The value of invisible service. You see, Andrew understood how important it was to bring Peter to Jesus Christ. You see, Peter was going to be in the limelight. I think Andrew knew Peter better than anyone else. We think we know Peter. Andrew knew Peter. And he understood that if he brought Peter to Jesus Christ, you know what was going to happen? No one would ever see Andrew. And Andrew said, that's okay. I'm okay with invisible service. God is pleased with those that no one knows. No one knows their name. No one barely knows anything what they do. They just see a clean building. They just see a bulletin. They just see whatever it is. And no one understands the work that's involved. And they're okay with it. Because God knows. The value of invisible service. Andrew understood that important truth. The behind the scenes ministry. This is where really servanthood begins, isn't it? It's not the one up front. It begins, and some of the most important work is done in the shadows. No one knows, but they're just working. They're just consistent. They just understand what it is to be faithful, to be devoted to their Savior. The value of invisible service. He's basically saying, it's okay. I don't need to be up front. I don't need to preach the message. I don't need to be the soloist. I don't need anyone to know. I'm okay with just bringing people to Jesus. Have you ever tried to invite someone to church recently? Have you ever tried to witness to someone recently? How many of those people have come to church with you lately? Not many. It's a long, tiring road. Because the truth is, most people today in London and around this world really don't care a whole lot about Jesus Christ. They don't know who He is. And so here we are trying to introduce them to Jesus, the one who can save their soul, the one who can change their life, the one that can put, you know, this very scary life that is full of uncertainty onto solid ground where they can have and sing Amazing Grace. Where though things can be going so terrible around them and even in their life, they can say God is good because God will continue to show His grace upon their life. God is so good. And the truth is, as you go and tell people and tell people and tell people and tell people, it's a long and tiring road because it takes a long time to find someone who you'll be able to bring to Jesus. But what a wonderful opportunity it is. And maybe they even get saved. And you know what? It could be a long road before they would even darken the doors of Forest City Baptist Church. Or they may end up going to another church. And no one may ever know that you spent hours and hours and hours bringing that person to Jesus. But it doesn't matter. That life has been changed for all of eternity. That life that was on its way to hell to be in torment for all of eternity is now on its way to heaven. And God loves them with this everlasting love. And God has poured out His mercy on them. And God has made them a place. As He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And God has given them peace that passes all understanding. Because that person was willing to go and bring their friend, their cousin, to call someone on the phone that they might be saved, bringing them to Jesus. Here's what I know about the Andrews, those that are in the backline. Their motives are pure. You can't be certain about those that are in the spotlight, their motives, their heart. Oh, everyone sees, and so they get all excited and they do everything that they're supposed to do. Why? Because everyone is watching them. But those that no one is watching, that will do what's right. Those that no one is watching, but will bring them to Jesus. Those that no one is watching, but will serve faithfully. Those are what make a church great. Those are what give us as Christians a great name. No one knows. They're just faithful, faithful, doing what God has shown them to do. Washing disciples' feet. Did a little bit of reading this week about Dawson Trotman. He's the founder of the Navigators, and he just had a heart for, at the beginning, was those that were in the Navy. And he had a heart for these young men, that they might be saved. It was during the day of Billy Sunday, and he saw all these people coming to Jesus Christ. But he says, now they know Jesus Christ, but how are they going to know how to live for Jesus Christ? And they came alongside, and they helped to disciple so many people. And he did a great work for the Lord, helping to disciple and bring people to Jesus. One day, he was at a camp, and a little girl was drowning. So he went out, and he grabbed that little girl and lifted her above the water while he drowned and saved her life. And at his funeral service, many people went to talk about Dawson Trotman. One of these people, a pastor, he said, "Do you know what? I went on a hike with him. I went on a hike with him, and we were exhausted when we got home. So tired. I mean, we just kind of just took off our boots and so on and just fell into bed. And when I got up the next morning, you know what I noticed? My boots were clean." He was a servant of God. He just got up early to clean my boots, willing to wash my muddy, stinky, disgusting boots to be a blessing to me. That's who Dawson was. Billy Graham said at his funeral, he said, "Dawson was one who died doing what he did in his life, lifting people up, lifting people up." Many people came to know Jesus Christ because, and he came alongside many Christians and helped to disciple them, lifting them, bringing them to Jesus Christ. There's no greater task. And to be, there's no greater job, there's no greater person that you could be than being like an Andrew. So I'm not much, I can't do, but what I can do is I definitely, and really all of us can do this. You know, you might not have a lot of talent, you may not be able to speak in public, you may not be able to maybe even teach, or you may not be able to we say I'm limited by the gifts that God has given me, and that's okay, you use those gifts for him. But can I say, everyone can tell someone what God has done for them. Everyone can help to bring someone to Jesus. A lady by the name of Ruth Culkin wrote this poem, a piece of poetry. It says, "You know, Lord, how I serve you with great emotional fervor in the limelight. You know how eagerly I speak for you at the women's club. And you know how effervescent I am when I promote a fellowship group. And you know how I love to teach a Bible study. But how would I react, I wonder, if you pointed me to a basin of water and asked me to wash the callous feet of a bent and wrinkled old woman. Day after day, month after month, in a room where nobody saw, in a room where nobody knew." Remember the story of James and John? James and John. In Matthew chapter 20, the story of James and John, there's these two boys, and their mother comes to Jesus. And she says, "I want my boys to be great in your kingdom." One thing she's done good, amen. She brought her boys to Jesus. She knew that they were with Jesus. They were with the right person. But now she's concerned. She allowed her boys to go to Jesus. You've got to let your kids come to Jesus. Bring your kids to Jesus. She's concerned. She says, "I want them to be great in your kingdom. Would you give them a place of prominence in heaven? Would you give them, a seat at the best table? Could they sit on your right hand and on your left hand in the kingdom of God? And God says something to her. Jesus says, but Jesus called them unto him and said, you know, the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. So this is what he's saying. He says, the way up is down in my kingdom. You want your boys to be great, they need to be servants. Those that are great now, those that are prominent, those that are trying to be great and have the best seat and the best place, that's not how it is in the kingdom of God. If you want to be great, you need to be a servant. And we see how the greatest servant of all, before he died, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. Before the Lord's Supper, what did he do? He went around and he washed the disciples' feet. So I want to be like Jesus Christ. Well, you better get down and start washing some feet. I'm thankful we don't do foot washing. There's places that do foot washing. I'm glad that we don't do that. Amen. My feet are pretty clean, but still, you know, they get sweaty and stinky. And I'm glad no one comes and washes them except for myself. But there are places, honestly, that do that. Take the scripture literally that we need to go ahead and wash each other's feet. But do you know what we need to do is go and love on one another in a selfless way. That's what he's saying. Go and just show that you love them, and they may not even know that it was from you, but you gave them a little something. Or you may just give them a call. You may just take them out for breakfast or lunch. Or you may just call them up and say you want to go to Tim Hortons. Just try and give them some flowers. You're just doing something, and you're pouring. You just spend some time with them. You call them. Just spending some time. You just go help them with something they're doing. Why? Because you just want to show them that you love them. Pouring your life into their lives. Try to get involved. It's sad if the greatest thing you do for the Lord is come and hear me for an hour every week. That's you're not going to get the purple, you know, heart or some medal for that. But what would make you great in God's kingdom is if you were to serve him in some way. We all have different gifts, but just serve him with the gift that he's given you. We all can serve him. We all can do something in his kingdom. We don't have to be, you know, desiring that title. I'm glad to have guests here this morning. We had some guests even in the last few weeks. One that I knew and some that I even friends from Bethel that I've known. And one person said, well, what should I call you? And they've always called me Mark. And I said, you just call me, you know, whatever. What do you mean, what do you call me? And I said, some would call you a minister, right? And some would maybe call you Reverend, right? Not fond of that one, but that's what we can be called. And people will call me Reverend. I've been called Reverends lots of times. And some will call us pastors or whatever, you know, people might call. I just said, just whatever. It doesn't matter to me. He said, well, what do you prefer? I said, I prefer Pastor Mark. You can call me Pastor Mark. If that's what you want, call me Pastor Mark. That's what I like. Pastor Bowman, I always think of my dad, and so I don't necessarily, I mean, you can call me Pastor Bowman, that's fine, I don't care, I'm not going to, but my preference, you can call me Pastor Mark, but I'm not, we don't, we're so focused on titles, we're so, you know, I want to have, you know, Dr. So-and-so, you know, I want to have that, oh, you know, make sure, I'm not even going to answer that person, they didn't use my title, how dare they, don't they know all that I've done and all that I do, and just be a servant. Just be a servant. Servants aren't so concerned. They don't have, you know, he didn't call me by my title. No, you just do what the master tells you to do. Just be a servant. Just be a servant. Andrew understood something, didn't he? He understood how important it was to just serve God in the background. He understood the importance of the individual person, didn't he? People. He understood how important it was those insignificant things. Things that, you know, we would think are insignificant. The insignificant gift. I told you the story already, but remember the 5,000. And they said, well, we got all these people and they're hungry, Lord. Send them away that they might go and get some food. And Jesus said, you get them some food. I'm going to feed them. Have them sit down. We don't have any food. We don't have any food. And so Andrew goes and finds a little boy, insignificant. You understand in the story, how does the Bible count the people? There was 5,000 men. Doesn't talk about how many women. Doesn't talk about how many children. And so one that is not even counted, the insignificant one. Andrew goes and finds this little boy. The other disciples must have thought he was crazy. No, he needs food for 5,000 people. What, you got a couple loaves and some fish? I mean, it's an insignificant amount of food for so many. But Andrew understood what could be done when the insignificant comes into the hand of a powerful God. And folks, you can be that insignificant. We're not anything special. But in the hands of God, you don't know what could be done. You don't know what could be done. Heard a story about a little boy. His father's out cutting grass, wanting to cut grass. Isn't it nice? I mean, we've complained about the heat, but isn't it nice not to have to cut your grass so much? Right? That's nice. I like that. But his father's out cutting the grass. He wants to get grass cut because supper time's coming. He's hungry, of course. And he's just pushing and he's just cutting and just moving along. And he's getting the grass cut. And then his little boy comes out and says, can I help cut the grass? So the dad says, sure, you can help the grass. He's, of course, thinking you got to train him young. He's 6 years old boys. But I can get him cutting, you know, later on in life. I won't have to cut so much. But he's looking at the boy, trying to push. And it's not really working much. So he comes alongside, behind, and around his boy. And his son helps him cut the grass. That's how we as servants of God get to help him. We think we're really something. Well, you don't know what I do here. You don't know my service. You know, I'm so proud of. I serve at Forest City Baptist Church. You don't understand what I get to do for God. We'd like to think that God wouldn't get it done without us. He's not holding his breath when you get on a plane just in case it goes down. Folks, God can get his work done without us. But the amazing thing is he loves to come around us and help us serve him. Because you understand that serving God is not so much for the church. It's not so much for God. But God wants you to serve him because he wants to be close to you. Get around you and do it together. We're workers. We're ministers. Together with God, labors together with him. We can't do this work without him. He's the one that does the work. But he loves that time of closeness. He loves that time together. The value of the insignificant gifts. Billy Graham told a story about an 80-year-old lady. She's 80 years old. She says, Lord, just take me home. Some of us might feel like that sometimes. Just take me home. I'm okay. Just come, Lord Jesus. I'm fine with it. She said, what can I do for you? I'm 80 years old and she's now blind. What can I do? Just take me home, Lord. And one day she came across. She said, I've served you my whole life. But one day she came across her Braille telephone book. So she started with the A's. Called that person up. Tell them about Jesus Christ. I just kept going for 9 years, calling and going through her Braille telephone book, telling people about, see, I can't do anything for God. This blind lady, 80 years old, she got on the phone and called random people for 9 years and told them how that God loves them. And when she died at 89 years old, they found in her notes the names of 3,000 people that had received Christ. She just got on the phone and called them and told them that God loved them. She couldn't do much. What could she do? She didn't have a... Here we are with our full faculties. So I can't do anything. You can bring someone to Jesus. Bring someone to Jesus. We're going to conclude. I guess it's got 10 truths here for us. Can we give them to you quick? The 10 truths about ministry. Often I think we believe the lie of the devil, don't we? Here's some 10 truths real quickly. The foundation of ministry is character. Character. You have to have character. If you want to serve the Lord, you got to do it. And you got to be there the next time, the next time, the next. That's the foundation. The nature of ministry is service. The nature of ministry is service. The motive. What's going to motivate us to bring someone to Jesus? Love. God's love. Motivates us to bring people to Jesus. The measure of ministry is sacrifice. It's going to take sacrifice. The authority of ministry is submission. The authority, it's submission. The purpose of ministry is the glory of God. Why do we serve people? Why do we bring... Because God would be glorified. This lady dialed number after number. Do you know how many thousands of people I'm sure she called? But 3,000 people over 9 years trusted Christ. Why? Because she understood that God loved them. And if no one knew what she did, she understood what difference that made in people's life and how God received the glory. The tools of ministry are the word of God and of prayer. That's how we point people to Jesus. The word of God and of prayer. Those are the tools. The privilege of ministry is growth. The privilege is growth. Number 9, the power of ministry is the Holy Spirit. And lastly, the model for ministry is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ got down there and he washed feet. Jesus Christ, the Bible said, humbled himself and became obedient. Jesus Christ humbled himself. What did he become obedient to? He humbled himself when he was born in a manger, in the barn, with the animals. It stunk in there, I'm sure. But he got in there and that's where he was born. He lived and he humbled himself, became obedient to his parents, always did what was right, and then became of age. Started his what we call his earthly ministry. What did he do in his life? He poured out his life, giving himself to others, preaching that they might be saved. Miracle after miracle of helping the sick, helping those that were hurting. What did he do? He became obedient even unto the death of the cross. He went to the cross to do his greatest work yet, which was to forgive our sins. Jesus paid it all. Jesus saves on the front of our church. There's a world that doesn't know that Jesus saves. Who will go and bring them to Jesus? I hope you'll be an Andrew. Andrew would. Andrew did. Let's go bring people to Jesus. Let's pray.